Welcome to Sensible Health Solutions, the show where we simplify health and wellness. Join your hosts, Haley Fields and Dr. Scott Looper, as they share practical tips and expert insight to help you navigate common ailments, nutrition, and overall well-being. Tune in for straightforward advice that empowers you to live a healthier life.
Good morning, Dr. Looper.
Good morning, Haley.
How is it going?
Good. Super good.
Good. Well, I have been thinking of this idea that we are discussing, kind of our topic for the month, one would say, is how to set up patterns for healthier living. And more recently, we have patients in our office who have broken bones or osteoporosis. How does one set up a pattern to promote bone growth?
Okay, so the typical thing when somebody's sick or there's some kind of problem going on, you go to the doctor, you get a diagnosis, they figure out what your problem is, and then you get a treatment. And with growing bone, it's typically you get put on a medication that stimulates the growth of bone and problem solved. Except for it doesn't really work that well because bone, we don't really care if bones are thick. What we care is if bones don't break.
Mm.
Now, you'd think thick bones won't break as much, and they don't, kind of. But thick bones don't necessarily result in strong bones. The system that our bodies have is really designed to put just the right amount of bone in just the right spot to make sure that the bones don't break, that they hold you up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So there's kind of this plan A, which is to get your bones strong. That's the best way to do it. And then there's this plan B, which is we're just going to throw mass into your bones, and you're going to pass the test.
So what do you mean by mass? Does it throw in, like, the building blocks to build bones? Does it throw in, like, extra calcium or extra
stuff that makes
little
the bones
bits
thicker?
And pieces?
Weight. Literally, they're heavier.
Okay.
There's more mass. And that mass is mostly consists of hydroxyapatite crystals, which are calcium and other minerals put together that bone's made up of. So what bone's made up of is a protein matrix, proteins lined up in the shape of a bone. This is collagen.
Mm-hmm.
And then in between the proteins are these mineral crystals that take the weight of the bone. You know, like you're building a church, you have these stone blocks and they're held together by mortar, and occasionally where they want to build it extra strong, they'll throw in some iron bar. Yeah, the iron bar is the collagen.
Okay.
And the blocks are the hydroxyapatite crystals.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. In fact, you could, if you want to do an experiment and see how this actually works, it's easy. You get a bone, typically a chicken bone because they're relatively light. Bird bones are light.
Yeah.
And you put it in a jar with some vinegar.
Okay.
You know, you submerge it in vinegar overnight, and the vinegar will leach away the minerals.
Okay.
And then you, in the morning, the bone is there. It looks the same.
Uh-huh.
And you take it out, and it's rubber. You could twist it into a knot.
And are there, like, is there, like, remnants that you can see within the vinegar of the residual
kind
of minerals?
A little murky.
Okay. Interesting. That would be a fun one for my 8-year-old.
Yeah, it's
and
a kid,
me.
It's a kid project. It's really great. So the dealio with building bone is it works best if you can get your body to do the building.
Uh-huh.
So this is where it relates back to this pattern thing. We're talking about setting up patterns. So the way to get things to fix the best is to set up a pattern and then run it. And if that pattern results in you laying down more bone, then you get more bone.
So I would think one would need to, in order to, you know, make that happen within the pattern, take more calcium, drink more milk.
Yeah, you'd think.
Yeah.
You'd think, because if you analyze bone, it's made up of, collagen and calcium and a few other little minerals mixed in. So you take calcium, you're going to build bone. Except for, we tried that, and it didn't really work. It's kind of meh. It's not like it doesn't work. It really just honestly doesn't work. It's not like it makes the bones lighter and weaker. It just doesn't really thicken them up.
But is it still important to support existing bone? I mean, all of the minerals are important.
Yeah. I see where you're going on this thing, but you got the wrong kind of idea. Really, the dealio is, what do you need to build bone? What's the short element? Because we can stack them all up, all these, you know, calcium and magnesium and boron and vanadium and whatever else, all this stuff, these trace minerals and big minerals, and we stack them all up, and that's what you need to make bone.
Huh? Okay.
What are you short of? Is it calcium? Not usually. Calcium's usually relatively abundant. It's magnesium. That's the short one. So if you're short of magnesium, you could have all the calcium in the world. It's just not going to work because there's a piece. You got to put the little magnesium in and then stack the calcium around that for it to work. And without the magnesium, it doesn't work.
Well, that's really interesting. I've heard magnesium has become such a hot supplement in recent years. There are like 7 different types of magnesium that you can take.
Yep.
And so it's kind of like a little maddening to know exactly what magnesium is best for your situation. But regardless, the one thing that I've heard magnesium is most useful for is sleep and rest and being calm, you know, that natural calm supplement.
And it is. Magnesium is relaxing.
Yeah.
And calming. See, the deal with magnesium, it's not just for bones. It's for 1,000 other things.
Yeah.
It does a zillion things in your body. It is used a lot as a way to kind of calm things down. Again, I'm going to be careful because you're going to tip me into this conversation about the double positive charge and the electricity and what magnesium does, access a calcium channel blocker, this whole other conversation, which is a fascinating conversation, but we're going to avoid that and go back to bone.
Okay, so magnesium is a building block along with calcium in the bone structure.
So let me give you the big picture, then we'll go into the details. You want to build bone?
Yeah.
Here's the dealio. What you got to do is you got to make sure you have the stuff that bone is made of abundantly available. At least available. Mm-hmm. I mean, abundant would be better because you'd build bone quicker, better, faster. But at least some. Otherwise, you're not going to build any bone at all, right? So you drop off a big load of bricks in front of the church, right? Because now you can build the church. Because why don't we have bricks? That's what this is. So what you have to do somehow is to get this stuff in your body. Now, we'll go back and talk about that because that's a rate limiting factor right there. That's where the breakdown a lot of times is. Exactly. Okay. Enough. Go to the next one. The next thing we need to do is we need to actually take those bricks and put them in. Make them build the stuff up. And so what we need to do is we need to stimulate the deposition of the material into the bones. Now, the deposition takes place with the help of these cells, these bone builder cells called osteoblasts. And osteoblasts know exactly where to put the bone in based on the stress of the bone. So where the bone's getting bent, where the stress is, that's where you need the bone to get laid in to build up that section so it won't break. It's not that we just need to pack in bricks everywhere, because everywhere's not necessarily getting stressed. But there's certain areas of the bone that get stressed more. How do we know this? Because the bone crystals, if you squeeze them, they generate a tiny little electric current called a piezoelectric current. And that electric current attracts the osteoblasts. They know exactly where to put the crystals and the collagen and everything else need to build the bone, all the different components of the bone, because that's where the electric currents are. And over time, those crystals kind of get funky, they get loose, they break off, they chip, they do whatever. And so they need to be remodeled. Otherwise, the bone just gets brittle and eventually breaks. So the team comes in and tears out the old stuff, not the whole bone at one time, just little tiny little sections, right? And then lays down nice new bone in a particular pattern that matches the stresses. Mm-hmm. Now, this is the opposite of taking the drugs. The drugs are just fly them wherever. And so the drugs result in you passing the test for bone density better. Not really, honestly. They're kind of funky. The drugs don't really work that well.
They fling them wherever. So they pile up like in your shoulder or in your knee.
Where you don't necessarily need it.
Yeah, and does that create bone spurs? Does that create like other issues?
If you got out of hand, it would.
Okay.
It's not the bone. That's really not the side effect of it. The side effect of the medications is your bones get denser.
Uh-huh.
Yay, bones are denser. But they don't really protect you from fractures very well. Uh-huh. They do, slightly.
Uh-huh.
The fracture rate declines slightly
but
with the medications.
But it doesn't go where it needs to go.
But not... This is like the B plan or the C plan or the D plan, depending on how we're looking at it. It's definitely not the A plan. A plan is to get the body doing what it knows how to do because it does it better than anything, to go in and actually lay down bone. So we're going to shoot for that one. So the way to do this is you got to set up a pattern of living that is going to slowly, but, you know, accumulatively build your bones up.
So we have step one of the pattern, which is give it the building blocks.
Well, we touched upon it. We have to come back to that one and talk about, you know, ways to get it to work better because there's a breakdown. That's usually the actual breakdown is you don't have enough stuff to build bones. But another area
or the stuff that you have isn't being processed thoroughly or accurately.
Okay, you're going to force me to go back and go into that one. Okay, I'll go back. We'll leave the other ones. We'll come back to the big picture later. Let's go back to the details. The details here are a lot of people don't absorb minerals.
Uh-huh.
They don't. And there's good reasons for that. To absorb minerals is hard. You think about what these minerals are. They're tiny, tiny, tiny little atoms.
Uh-huh.
How do we grab atoms? They're so small. Do we have little pinchers in our body? No, we don't. So it's just hard to get them in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the concentration of atoms is really high inside your digestive system, some of them, the atoms are just going to diffuse in because that's what they do. They jiggle around and they go to where there aren't other atoms banging them around, so they diffuse in. That hardly ever happens because the concentration of minerals in your digestive system isn't really that high. Unless you're eating rocks, and even then, they're hunks and chunks you can't absorb. These have to be tiny little things to slide in. So, here's the thing. There's a system already set up in nature to do this. The system is the plants take those minerals and incorporate them into their tissues, and they do things with them. Magnesium is in the chlorophyll, for example. And so there's magnesium already bound up with these organic molecules.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know how to pick up organic molecules. That's called food. So our body simply grabs those organic molecules and pulls them in. Now, if there's a piece of magnesium or calcium or iron or whatever attached to that, it pulls it in that much better. Okay, so these are called chelated minerals. They're something eight. So magnesium citrate, magnesium oxalate, magnesium carbonate, magnesium whatever. There's an eight associated with it. And so those are magnesium that's ready to get pulled in because it's magnesium with a big old hunk and handle attached to it, and our body can grab that handle and pull it in. So the absorption of magnesium goes up double, triple, quadruple, depending on the eight you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So if you really want to get magnesium in, you'll throw two or three of these eights in the same formula. Now you're going to pay top dollar for that.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Because the manufacturer's got to gather all the ingredients, mix them together. Also, when you take that teeny little magnesium and you put a big old hunk and handle on it, it makes it bigger.
Sure.
So in order to get to 200 milligrams, it's going to take you three capsules instead of one capsule.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if you want to do a one a day, we're going to put all the minerals and vitamins in one capsule. We got to use the small, tight little forms. The absorption sucks with those.
Right.
It is a waste of time.
Also, you're not absorbing most of the supplements you take. Most of the supplements you take, you end up just peeing out.
If they're pressed, they literally don't unpress.
Right.
You would literally, the pellets are going through you untouched.
Yes.
They're doing nothing.
Right.
That happens. So, I've seen this with my own eyes on x-rays. I get an x-ray of someone's gut. I go, what are those little things?
Oh,
those are your vitamins.
Yep.
Yeah. Except for we don't carry those vitamins here. I'm well aware of this. And so what we do here instead is we have vitamins in capsules. They're loose.
Uh-huh.
They break apart. And not only that, we'll have people take the forms of these minerals that are chelated. And so you end up taking three caps three times a day. Maybe that's a lot. But usually at least two caps twice a day to
a
get the levels.
Of magnesium. Now,
to get the levels
up.
Mostly
magnesium.
We're not even using capsules. We're using teaspoons of it.
And if you're using too much magnesium, it's going to pass through you anyway by...
Yeah, the problem with magnesium, with all minerals, is if you don't absorb it, then you don't absorb it. It's still in your gut.
Well, it makes you go. It is kind of like a laxative.
No,
a
kind of, but it's absolutely like a laxative.
It's
so
a
wherever
laxative
the specs
at a certain
are,
point.
Wherever the specs are, we're talking specs of any kind, that's where the water goes. This is an osmotic pull. So the water wants to dilute whatever the specks are. So as the specks go down through the tube, the water from your body goes into the tube. Now, if the specks are concentrated, they act as a natural laxative, and boop, you're just, everything goes. Because the water comes in, it's all heavy with water, and it just kind of moves through the system quicker.
Right.
So magnesium is a lovely laxative. Milk of magnesia. I remember being a kid seeing the advertisements on TV. And magnesium oxide actually works as a very good laxative because it's fairly gentle, it's dependable. You know, it's, as a laxative go, it's better than average for sure. Except for we're not really looking for that laxative effect when we're trying to build bone. What we're looking for is to pull those minerals in. So you want to take forms of magnesium, forms of minerals generally that come in. The best way to do this is, you know, in the old days, we just got this through our diet, eating lots of vegetables. And that's still a valid way to do it if you can eat vegetables that come from really rich soil. Now, if you go into the grocery store and you're buying vegetables, and these vegetables have been grown on that same plot of land for 50 years, and they're just sucking the minerals out of the soil, and then it turns out eventually it gets harder and harder to get the minerals out of the soil, so soils become depleted in minerals. Now, they could fertilize it, you know, with, you know, nitrogen and potassium and such, and get the plants to grow, but the trace minerals are in short supply. So it's hard to get enough minerals from your diet to be able to grow bone, particularly for somebody who's got thin bones to begin with. So those people, they really should be taking supplemental minerals as a way to build bone. We have a formula we use from Integrative Therapeutics. There's lots of these around. I'm not really got stock in any one of these companies. But the one we like is called Osteocomplex Forte or Osteocomplex Ultra. They're two different formulas. They're similar to each other. Anyways, I like them. I like them both. I like how they work. I like how they build bone. They're excellent. And it solves the problem. It gets enough nutrients in your body, in your blood, so that you can build bone.
Mm-hmm.
They got the right forms. They're easily absorbable. The only thing is you just can't take one pill and call it good. You end up having to take two or four or even six, depending on what the situation is. Three twice a day is the full dose of these things. If you're really trying to get the maximum availability, you're going to have to take a lot.
Right.
So there's that. Okay, so
I just had a question that popped up into my mind. Is this kind of the same story for joint rebuilding and supporting joint health as well?
Well, joints don't need necessarily the minerals.
They're not as hard.
They need the collagen.
Yes, okay, so.
And the cartilage is really the key thing because cartilage takes a lot of wear and tear. Cartilage acts as a shock absorber. If somebody's going to break in your joint, usually the cartilage, I mean, it's not always, I mean, if you fall and, like, you know, hit the ground hard in a ski accident, then a lot of times some little bit of connective tissue is going to get pulled loose. That's a different kind of thing altogether. But if you're going to wear your joint out, then it's usually the cartilage that takes a hit. And you're right. You have to take things that'll help build the cartilage back up. That's another show. Again,
okay,
I'm tempted to go back. The other thing to consider with absorption of minerals is if your stomach acid levels are low, then the minerals are harder to absorb. Minerals that have gone through an acid bath get an electron stripped off them and they become more sticky. They stick to stuff better, and so you could get the absorption better. So let me give you an example. You take a 22-year-old male who's got lots of stomach acid, he's at the peak of his fitness, as fit as he's ever going to be, he takes calcium or magnesium or something like that, and the absorption rate runs around 40%. You put in, you know, 100 of these things, 40 of them get sucked up, and you poop out 60. That doesn't sound like a very good absorption rate, but that's as good as it gets, maybe 45%, somewhere around there, okay? Now, you take somebody with low stomach acid, someone whose digestive system is kind of weak from age, and particularly female, so an older female with weak digestion, those are common as dirt, by the way, the absorption rate somewhere around 4%.
Mm.
That's where they have osteoporosis. Mm. They're literally, these ladies are literally not getting the nutrients in to be able to build bone. So those are the ones that really need to take something and do everything they can to support their digestive system, including doing things that build up their stomach acid. So if you take a pill that blocks stomach acid because you're getting heartburn, you are setting yourself up for osteoporosis.
Mm.
This is, and everybody knows this. The manufacturers of the acid blockers, they know it. They say on the box, don't take this longer than 3 weeks. Why? Because they know this osteoporosis thing. Except for who takes these acid blockers for 3 weeks? almost nobody.
Yeah,
people stay on them for years.
Yeah.
Because once you take them, you feel better because your acid's not giving you a problem. And then once you quit, your acid comes back with a vengeance.
Yeah.
And so it's a racket because you need to take it forever. It doesn't actually fix you. But if you quit taking it, your problem comes back worse than it was before. So that's another show we can do. But let's go back to the building bone thing. So in order to get bone to build, you need to get the materials in. We talked about that. Then you also need to stimulate the deposition of these minerals in the bone in the right spot. And that how you do that is you got to take the bone, you got to squeeze it. And then it makes us a little electric current, which attracts the bone-building cells
to the correct spot. So you have to compact the bone.
You have to compact the bone. Yes. And how you do that is...
exercise.
That's right. Exercise. Okay, once again, as every show we ever do, it comes back to eat right and exercise. Again.
There's
again,
no way around it, is there?
So it turns out exercise is the thing. Now, exercise is interesting because exercise is not quite the right word because there are very good exercises that won't build bone. Can you think of one?
Swimming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're supported. The gravity holds you up. Now, your muscles are pulling on the bones, but there's no gravity to get the bone deposition to happen.
Yeah, and space croquet. That would be another sport.
Space croquet.
Yes.
Yes.
That you wouldn't be able
croquet
to build
space.
Bone.
I don't think there's a lot of that going on, but in theory.
Sure, yeah.
Right. So if you're up in space, floating, free fall... you're losing bone, about 1% of your bone a month.
Oh, wow.
So a year into it, you're 12% down in terms of your bone mass, right?
Mm-hmm.
2 years, that's a long time in space, but you're on the space station, you're down 24%. That's just about a quarter of your bone mass is gone. Do the math on this thing. Eventually, your bones get so depleted that you can't come back to Earth. I mean, this is a concern
you get crushed if you come back to Earth.
Yeah, you'll break your bones.
Yeah.
So they know this, so they have the astronauts exercise like fiends for 2 or 3 hours a day as a way to compensate for this.
But what kind of exercise are they doing, and are they...
running in place.
Okay.
They got bungees, and they run against the bungees, and they try to get some bone flexi doing that.
Okay.
It's really a drag being an astronaut. You got to exercise a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of your day is just put to exercise so that you keep your bone... mass and your muscle strength so you can come back to Earth and you don't fall on the ground and, collapse.
Get crushed by the weight of gravity.
Anyway, so we're lucky on the planet Earth because we can just go walk around.
Uh-huh.
So walking turns out a particularly effective exercise to build bone.
I would think dancing, too.
Yeah, any kind of thing where you get gravity pushing against your bones. And the way that the gravity push against your bones is how your body's going to build bone. So it turns out walking and dancing and getting up on your feet is one of the best ways to do it because that's how we get from place to place.
And running, but I know that running's probably, more difficult for certain populations that are mostly dealing with low bone density and osteoporosis.
Well, it's not so much the low bone density and osteoporosis. It's just the fact that people just they're not used to exercising. And so you're older and you haven't exercised a day in your life hardly. And then your bones are getting thin, and you think the last thing I want to do is start doing this exercise program because I just don't feel it. Now, the good news is if you do start, your body will respond to it, and you'll grow more muscle, more bone. It works at any age. Really, that was interesting because I was thinking, what happens if you're like 87 and you're never exercised at all, and then you start exercising? What's going to happen? Turns out it works. Works fine. They've done it. They've done research on bunches of 87-year-olds, and they run them through the exercise program. At the end of the program, they've all built bone. They got muscle. They're fitter. They feel better. Everything's great. It's never too late. Never too late to start exercising. But you're not going to start running. Running's hard.
Running's really hard. I even took a year off of running and then got back into it. And it put me through it.
Running's fabulous. It's super fun. The power that you get from running. Basically, running fits in the category of what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Yes.
Yeah, without a doubt. And when you feel stronger, you just feel fabulous.
Right.
So I absolutely recommend running, except for, it's a hard sell.
It is. It is a hard sell. A lot of people are not runners.
You don't have good news. You don't have to run. You can dance. You can walk. Anything that you do with gravity.
Jump in place?
Anything. Yes. Jumping in place is
yoga?
Great. Yeah, absolutely. Because you're doing yoga, and as you bend and stretch and do whatever... gravity's pulling and stretching, and yoga's better in a lot of ways because yoga is taking your bones and putting them in weird positions, so it tends to stimulate a more bone growth because, you know, when you lean over sideways, it puts this weird sideways stress on your bone, and now your bones are getting built on the sideways because there it is, because that's where the stresses are. So, the thing to do is not that you're going to exercise vigorously one day a week. That's not going to do diddly. You get a little bit of benefit, but hardly any. The better thing to do is exercise 10 minutes a day, every day. You'll get way more benefit. So if you jiggle your bones and you stress them once a day for just a little while, they upregulate and they start building. So that's what I would do. The baby steps is the best way to do this thing. Remember, the point of the show here is taking little steps and moving it forward gradually and reaping the benefits of it. So if you're going to build bone, you got to make sure you got the materials to build bone out of, and you got to stimulate the deposition of those materials into your bone by doing some sort of exercise, some kind of gravity exercise. Now, there's a third thing, which is also super important. This is where breakdown happens a lot of time. People, they're taking the stuff, they got the minerals, they're doing the exercise, they still don't build bone because you have to have hormones to do it. Those cells are not only do they require stimulation from gravity to cause that electric effect in your bones that attract the bone building cells, but the hormone milieu has to be correct. If your hormones are low, then you don't build bone, at least not very well. And if your hormones are adequate, then you build bone fine. So hormones are a thing that has to be looked at. This is a potential breakdown in the system.
Interesting. Dr. Looper, we're out of time.
Okay. Well, we can say more about the hormones. We'll do it at some point.
Well, I think that this kind of segues into my next question, because, like, nails and hair are essentially the stuff that's made out of bone, so...
Yeah, there's a lot of interest in growing hair.
Yes.
For sure. All right, let's talk about hair.
Okay, we'll pick that up next time. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Sensible Health Solutions. We hope you found today's discussion enlightening and packed with practical tips to enhance your wellness journey. Remember, small changes can lead to big results. If you enjoyed the episode, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback helps us bring you the best content possible. Stay connected with us on social media for more health insights and updates. You can find us at Sensible Health Solutions across all social platforms. Until next time, stay sensible and stay healthy. This content is for informational purposes only and is not a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Seek medical advice from a healthcare professional for any medical conditions.